Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren. This week, we're in Terre Haute on Zoom with Mayor Duke Bennett. I believe you were on vacation last month, so we haven't seen you in a while. Hope you're doing well. Hello, Mr. Mayor.
It's great to be here, Joe. Good to see you again. Yeah, I was out. I had a couple of vacation days, but I also went to Washington, D.C. for the police memorial. You know, we lost an officer last year, and so I spent a couple of days and then headed to D.C. for a few days. And, you know, another tough week from that perspective. That's our third officer since I've been mayor that we've lost. But it's really a great thing to go and be with the family and do that. It's just you kind of relive it again. And so it was a rough week, but I'm back and doing things. And, you know, it's been a great year so far, really. It's been a lot more positives than negatives.
Yeah, so much going on. I just wanted to catch up a little bit. I want to remind those listening, we're always looking for your questions. You can submit them to news@indianapublicmedia.org or on Twitter @AskTheMayor. Let's just start a little post-election. The school referendum didn't pass there. Just wanted to get your take on how important was that to the school system in Terre Haute and what now?
Well, it's a big deal. So I guess there's it's easy to Monday morning quarterback a little bit on some of these things as you look through. And before the election, you kind of think about, okay, I'm hearing where the feedback's coming from and not, you know, this sector and that sector. And then you get the supporters over here. So I thought it was going to be close. I really did. I miscalculated on the numbers. And what I would attribute that to is people just kept it quiet. They just kept their opinion to themselves and didn't really share it publicly. So you didn't know where they were coming from. And looking back and now looking forward, it's going to be a bumpy road because the folks that were opposed to it felt like there wasn't enough transparency with the school corporation. There's been some, you know, financial things that have been unclear and exactly what's going to be, the money's going to be spent on. You knew it was the high schools, but not the specifics of that or in what order. And just, you hear all this stuff after the election from people of what made them feel uncomfortable about it. And so, you know, we've got to do something with the high schools. I don't think anybody disagrees with the fact that we've got improvements to be made in the schools. They just didn't like a second referendum, this one being for capital when the other was for operations, until they get that figured out of why they need money to pay the, you know, daily bills and then want to tackle $260 million worth of improvement. So, you know, it's unfortunate from a perspective of we've got to do something and you need to get started immediately on the school. And this is going to delay that without any question. It's part of our overall approach to our community. We want good schools. We want good physical facilities. We've got to be able to sell those to people who want to come to our community. So we're going to have to figure out how they're going to get there and do it without this big bond. I'm going to guess it's going to be smaller bonds along the way. They're going to use some of their federal relief money to do some things. So they're circling the wagons and figuring out how to move forward. But as a community, we're going to have to make those investments at some point. I mean, it's inevitable.
You know, more taxes could be, especially now, a hard sell with inflation, gas prices. Do you think that had something to do with it too?
Yeah, at the end. So there's a couple of things that happened in the last really couple of weeks where it became more apparent that gas prices were going through the roof. Inflation wasn't getting under control in any way, shape, or form. Well, then the tax forms came out, you know, pay your tax bills. And then the reassessments came out the day before the election. And so people are looking at next year's and saying, my taxes are going to go up. I mean, worst case scenario, I'm not laughing about it in a way that it's just like, you can't make this stuff up. You know what I mean? It's like all the worst things happened in a short period of time that just really blew it up. And I think that's just simply what happened. And there wasn't anything they can do about the timing of those things, but all of that building up to being like, no, as a community, you know, we don't want increased costs. I mean, that was the clear message that people sent.
A lot of city tanks to fill, cars, police, fire. How does the city maintain a budget with the high gas prices?
So, you know, I looked at that data just last week. I asked our controller just to give me an update, show me where we're at through the end of May. And some of our areas were exceeding what we had budgeted. There are departments that are heavy users, as you can imagine, police department, et cetera. You know, we can't cut back, and we're not going to cut back in those areas. We're just going to have to shuffle some funds around. We've got some other line items that we're probably going to make some decisions of holding off on doing something that isn't critical. Or, you know, we may have to appropriate some funds at the end of the year. We'll see how this plays out for the second half of the year. But yes, we're spending a lot more. You know, gas is costing us twice as much as it did last year, and the budgets are reflecting that. But I don't anticipate any reduction in service. And I'm hopeful that in the coming months, it'll start trending back the other way. But we are going to spend a lot of money on both diesel and gas this year, more than we've ever spent.
Well, finally, some news on the casino groundbreaking. I see set for June 21st, the Queen of Terre Haute. We've been reporting a $260 million casino hotel. We've been talking about a date for three or four months now. So I bet it's, at least on your perspective, it's really good to have this in the calendar.
Finally. I mean, you know, it's, I understand that they're reluctant to pick the date because you've got all these, you know, hoops you have to jump through and a lot of red tape, state related and FAA related and a variety of other things because of their location. But I always felt like they were going to get it done in June. We were hopeful it was going to be May. So I knew we were really tightening that down. And it was just great when they finally let us know last week of the specific date and time, because now it really becomes real to people. You know, there's still skeptics out there saying, is this ever going to happen? And I answer those questions on a daily basis. I'm telling you, still a daily basis. And there's a lot of excitement for the casino to come. Whether you're a gambler or not, people know it's going to bring revenue to our community. It's going to bring people, and it's just a real energy boost for us and an economic development driver. So we've all been waiting for this for so long, and now it's just exciting to hear that the scope of the project remains huge. It's going to be a major investment, put a lot of people to work, and then, as I said, generate that revenue back to the community for us to do some great things with. So, you know, across the board, I'm just glad we're getting to that point, get the building started. We're working on some traffic-related issues right now that are, since they kind of moved to a different spot than the original casino plan where Hard Rock was going to go. We've had to, you know, really pick up the pace here on figuring that out, but I'm feeling good how it's all coming together here in the month of June to really turn that dirt and get something started.
Yeah, and I know the site is farther out east off of I-70. What kind of infrastructure will the city have to help provide, or is most of that come from the casino?
Well, they're going to help with that, obviously, but there's things that we'd already planned to do before the casino ever announced they were going out there. So it's a combination of things over the coming years that we'll do to improve access on the north side, increase the flow on existing Margaret Avenue on the south side of their facility. And so it's going to be kind of coming from both directions over the next 3 to 5 years of getting all of those projects that are already on the books completed with this new addition out there. You know, the VA clinic's open and that's generating new traffic. The casino's going to drive additional things. So we're trying to capture all of that now and beginning to move forward on several projects, including a new fire station out there too, to support all this development on the east side.
So it sounds like you're talking about roads.
Yeah, from that infrastructure, the utilities are all there. So it's some road improvements. Yes. Just to be clear, I guess I think about and talk about it every day. So just want to be clear on that. We've got New Margaret Avenue to the north of their property that needs to be extended. We've got existing Margaret Avenue that needs some improvements. And so it's all of the above when it comes to that.
Do you have any jail update? I stopped when I was there the last time, and really it's amazing from the outside how close they're getting.
Yeah, the staff is there now. So they have moved in. The offices are at the new jail. The inmates are still here, you know, across the sidewalk from me. But they will begin to move them sometime in July. And that's the last plan that they talked about to get everybody moved in the month of July. So over the course of that time, they'll in sections, they will do that. And so it's open for business and just trying to make put the final touches on it in preparation to bring the inmates down.
Yeah, I've talked about just because it's just been in the news so much about the mass shootings, Uvalde school shooting, of course, recently, and NPR reporting more than 240 mass shootings this year. You know, as a mayor, you know, when you watch this on TV or read about it, I mean, what goes through your mind? I mean, do you automatically think about, boy, what would happen if this could happen here?
Yeah, you know, I think more along the lines of, well, first of all, I feel really good about our school security plan that we put in place here. We were one of the leaders in the state to put school resource officers in. I can't even tell you what year that was now, but it was probably back in 2009, 2010. We have armed officers in every school. Some schools have more than one, you know, lockdown of the doors, you know, got to come through the main entrance and all those things. But then every time this happens, especially in a school particular setting, I mean, that's the worst case scenario anyway, when you're talking about kids, you want to be able to send your kids to school and have them be safe. I mean, that's every parent is like that. There's nobody, it doesn't matter what your politics is, you want your kid to be safe in schools. And so I feel very strongly about that, but that doesn't mean something can't happen, just like it happened down there last couple of weeks that we've been hearing over and over again about failures of the system and things. I hope and pray that never happens here in Terre Haute, but it can. And we've got to learn from this particular scenario. I mean, it sounds like they had some failures in their planning process, but we can't let those things happen here. And I'm sure mayors are doing this and school corporations and everybody's looking at your plan again. What can we take it to the next level? We can't just have a plan and have a few things done. If we need to make more investments, we need to make those. But then when you step back and look at it, you know, it's almost automatic that some politicians immediately run to the gun control things and others say, you know, it's all mental health or something else. You know, it's kind of a combination of a lot of things. And I really do believe COVID has had some impact on the mental health of people. I really believe that. I think it's affecting crime in general. I have no proof of any of that. It's just my gut and my experiences. I think we need to do more to head off these potential people who are going to commit these crimes. I mean, this kid sent out every message in the world that he was going to do this. Yeah, he did it. He got away with it. I mean, he's dead, but he did it. He pulled it off. How do we do a better job of keeping weapons out of the hands of people like that? You know, it doesn't mean they're not going to go find another weapon, but how do we continue to tighten the reins on people who are not stable and who have made threats and we don't do anything about that? I mean, I want to learn more. I want the investigation to be completed, but from what I hear and what I'm looking at, this should have never happened, but you know.
Yeah. And of course, I hear you say we have to do more. We have to do more. Our local cities getting the support they need from state and federal officials?
You know, I think generally speaking, we're going to be left to come up with the money to do more things ourselves anyway. It always seems to work that way. But having more mental health resources and more people in schools, I think that's a key, is having staff in the schools that are dealing with kids every day that are there and helping the ones that are having issues. I mean, bullying and social media and all this stuff is pushing people to limits that we've not seen before. I mean, there will be people that will dispute me saying that, but it's true. I'm telling you, I know it is true. And I talk to mental health providers here, and they say these kids are facing more pressures and more things in their lives now than they have ever seen. You know, some of these people have been doing this for 30, 40 years. We've got to figure out how to soften that blow, get kids through school to not face those pressures and not feel like something is built up to where the suicides are up, you know, drug use is up, these kind of shootings are up. All of this has got to stop. And I don't have all the answers. I don't think any mayor or anybody else has all of it, but we need to come at it from lots of different directions. I'm editorializing now, but it's like I just get frustrated too that we only kind of focus on one area or two areas. You know, there's probably three or four areas we need to really be looking at and get a handle on this. And parents need to do a better job of raising their kids. They just do. We have some great parents out there in our community, but there's some that are letting their kids run amok, and this stuff builds up. And, you know, it's, I don't know all the situation down there in Texas. We'll learn more, I'm sure, in the future, but it's just really sad that it came to a situation where this kid can go get a gun, do this, and it's just, it's devastating to all of us. I hate it for those folks down there. It's just terrible.
And like you said, when you mentioned these other areas, it's not one thing, it's many different things. Do you agree gun control is part of the issue too?
Yeah, I just think that, you know, most people who have guns are law-abiding citizens. What are we doing about the people that are committing crimes with guns now that turn around and commit other crimes? I'm not saying they're school shooters, but there's others. How many other shootings have happened since Texas, just all around the United States with mass shootings? You know, it's, why are they doing that? Why all of a sudden are we seeing this? Let's get to the root of the problem. And if some of that is background checks and keeping people from getting weapons until you get through a process, I'm okay with that. I have no problem with that. But I think it's important that people still are able to access guns who want them to protect their families. So if we got to jump through a few more hoops, I'm okay with that. But I really want to focus on that mental health side and try to get some of these people off the streets who are fragile or, you know, could be the next shooter. I don't know. It's a very frustrating thing, and I don't think there's any one answer, no matter what anybody says. I think it has multiple answers for the problem.
Well, I know we just have a couple minutes left, but I did want to get...
I went on that one.
Oh, no, and I, you know... It's just such a tragedy and just on the minds of everybody right now. And I think if you talk to anybody about this, you're going to get a long answer. There's just so much to talk about.
There is. And we just got to keep doing something. I mean, we can't just talk, we have to act. And so we need to try some things and see if we can tighten the reins a little bit. That's the first step.
Yeah. Terre Haute hosted its first Pride Festival this past weekend. I know you, we're in support of this. You had great weather last weekend. How did the festival go? And I heard you made a proclamation too.
Yeah, it was a huge turnout. So when I first got there and saw all the booths and vendors they had, I thought, well, I mean, this is going to be big just because that's as big as any other event that I've seen, you know, for quite some time, especially after COVID. Great turnout, you know, a lot of folks. It's just exciting. Anytime we have festivals, I love them anyway. I love getting people out and mingling and doing things in our community. So it's always fun to see that. This was the first, obviously, for them. And so I think they had a little bit of a learning curve. We had some things that we got to, you know, work on in the future. But they have to be happy about the crowd that came out and support they received, just generally speaking. It turned out to be a great event. You know, we had the Wabash Valley Festival going on at the same time at Fairbanks Park, just a few blocks away. Great turnout for that. We got the Strawberry Fest coming up this week. So it's kind of that time of the year, you know, late spring, early summer, when a lot of things begin to happen and you just love to see people out and having fun and enjoying themselves. And that's what it's all about. And the more different kinds of festivals and events we can have, the better. You know, I want to be able to, you know, reach all segments of our community and encourage people to come and be a part of it. And so I just love seeing those things.
You know, I know I'd be talking Nashville. They're working on a human rights ordinance for their town. Does Terre Haute have anything like that?
Yes, we do. And we have a human relations commission here that deals with a lot of issues, discrimination kind of issues and things. So, you know, we do a lot in that area, and it's been pretty successful. So, where that goes in the future, I don't know whether we put even more resources in it, but I feel really good about the accomplishments that they've made over the years.
I always like to kind of leave the last minute up to you. Any big announcements, anything else you'd like to say, any city council news?
No, you know, city council's still been quiet. You ask me that every month, and we've had a lot of rezonings and things and
right.
A few abatements, but, you know, kind of normal business. But things have been going really well, pretty smoothly from that perspective, that administrative side of it. You know, we're working on our next ARPA spending plan. So spend some of those federal dollars. That's taken up quite a bit of our time. We're working on updating our housing and doing a little bit of a housing survey because we have a lot of issues with housing in our community to ramp up some things. We want to have a work with our home builders. We've got some new apartment complexes coming to the community. So we are making some progress there, but that's a targeted area. Workforce development's big. So we're kind of working on a plan that we're going to roll out here this fall related to some components of that. So there's a lot of heavy, big things going on behind the scenes that seem to be talked about publicly. And then just, you know, we're going to start budgeting again. It just never fails if you get it done and it's time to start planning for next year. So all there's just a lot of things and good stuff, and we're just excited about where we're at right now and some things that we're going to be talking about very soon in the casino. It's an exciting time to be here in Faro.
I did see you through the first pitch at a Rex game. I'm just curious, did it make it across the plate?
Well, it was a bit outside. ever since I've had my shoulder surgery, my accuracy's not there. I got it up to the plate, but it was a little bit outside. But hey, it was at least catchable. The catcher was able to haul it in.
Mayor Bennett, thank you so much for your time, and hope to see you in July.
Okay, thanks, Joe.
Thank you.